The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It's Snooze Fest 2023, a.k.a. Free Agency Day 1. What are we going to talk about? Dave, I told Dave we're going to talk about David Onyemata today. So that's, there's a lot of, like, honestly, if we were doing an NFL podcast, a lot of interesting moving parts on defense, a little bit of offensive line. But Dave, no wide receiver news, no running back news. Pretty interesting that it's taking so long thus far. But how's free agency day one treating you?
Snooze fest, totally boring, lame. But this is what's expected when the wide receiver free agency group is headlined by DJ Chark and Jacoby Myers and Odell Beckham. And this is what's expected when the running back group, although there are some pretty decent names out there, they're the fantasy names that we know, like Miles Sanders is out there and Leonard Fournette and David Montgomery. But we've got a whole draft coming in late April that's going to put more running backs on the map. And I got a feeling that those guys are going to get underwhelming contracts on the second wave of free agency, both the receivers and the running backs that are available. So not necessarily a great situation for fantasy managers trying to get a leg up. Free agency is going to be kind of dull there, but there could always be a trade. We're still waiting for a trade out of Arizona for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And who knows what else will happen? Maybe a trade out of LA, Adam, for a certain running back that's been good to fantasy managers for years.
Yes, right. So our job is to make this a fun show, and we're going to do it. We do have some good stuff to talk about. Dalvin Cook and Austin Eckler trade rumors. Heath is coming on the show in about 10 minutes, and he's going to give his take on Jimmy Garoppolo going to the Raiders and what it means for everybody. Michael Thomas is still on the Saints. I think that's something we should discuss here, because as we spoke about Chris Olave a couple weeks ago, I think we kind of did it with the thought that Thomas wouldn't be there, but he's still there. And Aaron Rodgers is still a Green Bay Packer, so we're waiting to see that. There was a report that he was going to the Jets, but it hasn't happened yet. Jalen Ramsey, how about Jalen Ramsey signing with the getting traded to the Dolphins? That's not, like, right now, nothing good has happened for Garrett Wilson. The Patriots re-signed their top cornerback. The Jets still don't have the quarterback they want. The Dolphins now have two elite cornerbacks, or very, very good cornerbacks at worst. So all that stuff we can discuss. Now, I did want to crowdsource it a little bit, Dave. So yeah. I asked people what they thought about. I think we got a lot of Bears talk. We're going back to the Justin Fields, the DJ Moore trade, the number one overall pick trade. But first, let me get your take on the Austin Eckler, and if you want, the Dalvin Cook trade rumors. What do you make of that?
Eckler wants to get paid. Chargers might be telling him to kick rocks or to, you know, accept the deal that he signed a couple of years back, and he's asking for permission to seek a trade. There are very few teams that I think he could go to and have just as good fantasy value is with the Chargers. There's the three teams that are in need of running backs. There's Miami, Chicago, if they don't sign Montgomery. Somebody told me today that they weren't going to re-sign Montgomery. And Carolina. Three teams. They all need a running back. Eckler could fit in there. Yeah, I think you'd prefer him in Miami just because of the other offensive talent that's there, such as Mike White. But also Carolina could be interesting, too, with the rookie quarterback. And any team that gets him, they'd have to use him in the passing game just like the Chargers did. That would make sense. There's another team that would be maybe better than the Chargers, if you can believe that. There's actually two. I don't know how realistic they are.
Give me some hints. Give me some hints.
All right. The first one, playoff team in the AFC from last year.
I hope you're not going to say Buffalo.
I'm not going to say Buffalo.
Okay. Playoff team from last year. The Ravens.
No. This is this the fun podcast you were envisioning?
Okay, who? Which
what team? If you had to burrow your way to Cincinnati?
Oh, yeah, okay, that's good.
Okay,
yeah.
So Joe Mixon's got all this stuff going on and a high cap number as well. Bengals could move on from him and put Austin Eckler in their backfield. I'd love it. And I'm a little hesitant to put Eckler, you know, how often do running backs repeat how good that they do? He's been over 20 PPR points per game each of the last two seasons. Can you do it a third year? Maybe you could do it in LA. Maybe you could do it in Cincinnati too. I think that the Bengals would be an awesome landing spot. It's got to be a contender that he goes to as well. Why would he go to Chicago? If, you know, getting paid is nice, but are the Bears going to contend for a playoff spot? I don't care how much you like the moves that they made today in free agency. I don't think they're there. The even more unrealistic one, here's your hint. Ex-Seahawks, ex-Saints.
Denver.
Mm-hmm. And obviously that's unrealistic really because the Broncos are in the same division. But think about Austin Eckler in that offense. First of all, he'd be back home. He's from Colorado. Second of all, Sean Payton's track record, the average percentage of catches that running backs had in his offenses in New Orleans, 31.1% of all catches went to running backs. Eckler was already on a team that threw to their running backs about 25% of the time last year. Now it'd go up to 31. That'd be juicy for PPR. And we know that Javonte Williams isn't exactly a sure thing to be ready for the start of the season. I don't know if the Broncos necessarily, I don't think the Broncos see themselves the way that a lot of analysts see them. I think they can contend. And they made some nice moves in free agency to start. They really did a good job on the right side of that offensive line. If that offensive line is a huge improvement after all, Russell Wilson should be calmer from the pocket, should be able to play like he did toward the end of last season. Mm-hmm. I like what they did there on offense.
I wish we could talk more about that, but you're right. They're probably not going to trade him within the division because if you think about it, who was Austin Eckler's offensive coordinator the last two seasons?
It was Lombardi, right. Who's now in Denver as a consigliere of Sean Payton.
But he's a Sean Payton disciple. So that's a good – I never thought about that. My thought was there is no team that would be better for Austin Eckler's value than the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers have been top five in pass attempts three straight years. I think top six in passing yards three straight years. They just throw the hell out of the ball. And now Kellen Moore's a guy who – that jerk, he likes to light up the scoreboard and be the number one offense in the NFL.
He doesn't like to win, though.
Yeah, so but the thing about Eckler is he's never had more than 206 carries in a season. If you have any questions about him, is can he actually be a workhorse? I'm not sure.
No.
Right. He doesn't look
Let him do what he's
been doing. Who's going to give him that opportunity? I think only the Chargers, and the Broncos are interesting, but the Chargers, to me, are the absolute best fit for Eckler. I don't ever want to see running backs change teams, basically. I just always seem to want them to stay where they are.
And it could end up happening where Eckler stays with the Chargers and they just agree to like an addendum on his deal where, you know, he gets another year at a big contract value and there's some guaranteed money, whatever it is. But the Chargers should really work hard on trying to fix it because they've got a really good team and they've got a really good offensive line. And Eckler should slay with Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator and Justin Herbert still a quarterback.
All right, so quick pause from that to talk about college basketball, okay? Because a couple of things. You got to listen to the Eye on College Basketball podcast. It is awesome. It's one of our oldest podcasts. Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander, these guys are the best. And I will listen to it every time, every year, this time of year. I listen to this show.
Why do you listen every time of year?
This time of year, every year, because I want to fill out my brackets. Okay. So anyway, I enjoy that. Okay. Anyway, listen to that podcast and join our bracket challenge, because if you win it, you're in the podcast league. And you can do your brackets now on the CBS Sports app. You can play in men's and women's pools with friends. Join our challenges for the chance to win a new car. That's not in our specific league, but on CBSSports.com. Trips to the 2024 Final Four. Get the CBS Sports app or visit CBSSports.com/play to start filling out your brackets. No purchase necessary. See terms and rules for details. In terms of our league, the FFT League, if you win it, you're in the podcast league. Link is in the episode description, but all you have to do is go to CBSSports.com/FFT. So I asked the people, I knew that we didn't have a ton to talk about today, but I did ask the people, what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? And a lot of Bears stuff. People wondering what happens at running back for the Bears. You just said that you heard that they're not going to bring back David Montgomery. Do you think Bijan Robinson is an answer? Anyway, a lot of people want to know about the Bears and some questions about the running back spot. So with the trade, getting DJ Moore and beefing up on defense a little bit today, what do you think about the Bears running game?
I think they need to work on it. I know they like Khalil Herbert. We've been saying it for, goodness, it feels like 7 months now that Khalil Herbert fits into what they want to do on offense. But I think short of them drafting Bijan Robinson, they are a team that looks destined toward having a duo, if not a trio, in their backfield. The one thing the Bears did not do today was pick up capable tackles. They were going after Mike McGlinchey. He went to Denver. It seemed like the Bears didn't want to pay McGlinchey what he got from Denver. They got Nate Davis from Tennessee. Davis is a good run blocker. He's not a very good pass blocker, but Bears are going to do plenty of running this year. So whoever their running backs are will be of interest in fantasy. I would imagine that it will be a duo. For now, we know that Khalil Herbert will be part of that duo, so he's in that mid-round range as a running back that you'll consider an RB3. That's as things stand now.
He has been so good. He has played 6 games in his career, Khalil Herbert, without David Montgomery, or with Montgomery leaving very early with an injury. He has 18 or more carries and 70 or more rushing yards in all 6 games. So
interesting.
It's a lot, you know, and he's got 72 or more rushing yards in all 6 games. And yeah, he crushed it. He did fit. Now, 2 of the games from this past year, the 2 games that he played without Montgomery, Houston and the Giants. So he benefited from that. But Herbert was also really good the year before at the Raiders against Green Bay, at Tampa Bay against San Francisco. He was okay. So I would love for him to get a shot. I think he's better than David Montgomery, but that's just me. We'll see.
Well, the Bears might tell you the exact same thing.
Yeah, I think statistically David Montgomery is one of the least impressive running backs that's gotten as much work as he has. Revito says, look what it didn't happen. Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay. So this might be an outdated question by the time you finish answering it, but you think he's going to stay in Green Bay, or is that off the table?
No, I think that he will move on from Green Bay. I think the Packers, I think they want to see what they've got in Jordan Love. And Love's got potential now. He did have a live arm in college. His second to last year at Utah State was way better than his last year at Utah State. Some circumstances played a role, but a couple of years on the bench in Green Bay, he should be ready to go this season. It feels like Green Bay is turning the page and maybe installing an offense that they didn't think they could do with Aaron Rodgers, but they can do with Jordan Love. I'm curious to see it. Love will be one of my targets in 2 quarterback drafts when I don't get 2 good quarterbacks early on. Say I'm waiting on the position. Love is going to be in that like QB20 range, 18 to 23. Let's call it there. But a target is a number 2 QB. And in 1 quarterback leagues, might end up being somebody I'll take with my third to last pick before I take my defense and my kicker.
So how would you rank, assuming Aaron Rodgers is no longer on the Packers, Jordan Love, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo?
I believe I have Love at the top of that list simply for the upside. Because I don't love the upside for Garoppolo. Yeah. I mean, I know he's got great guys to throw to, but we've seen so much of Garoppolo. The combination of him not being a downfield attacker, and when he does attack downfield, it hasn't been pretty, along with the injury risk. So certainly in a one quarterback league, that's an easy pass. In a two quarterback league, I kind of get it, especially if the Raiders don't add another quarterback through the draft. Maybe you would consider him over Love, but if the Packers don't add another quarterback through the draft and it's just Jordan Love, you can feel the exact same way about him. So would you rather go with the young guy that, you know, you don't know what he's capable of doing, but you know that there's potential, or do you go with the older quarterback where you've seen him play for years and you know that there isn't a lot of potential? To me, that's an easy answer to go with Love. You mentioned Carr, I think, in between those two.
Yeah, I would take Carr over Love. So I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah, I'll take Love. I'll take Love over Carr. Maybe it changes if Carr, you know, really starts to spout off and we're hearing things about how great Chris Olave is looking and if Michael Thomas stays there. But it's almost the same exact argument. I think it's once in Derek Carr's career, he's gone north of 20 fantasy points a game. What are you drafting? You're drafting 18, 17 fantasy points per game?
Yeah.
Take my chances with Jordan Love.
Yeah. Now, if you've ever seen the movie Titanic, some people prefer Love in the car. Right? You know that scene? Like, yeah, okay. So anyway.
They're on a boat, Adam.
Yeah, but they're in a car in the, you know, when they're in that car, like in the steam room or whatever.
There's a car in the
hand,
steam room?
On the, you know, the steamy hand.
There's a lot of stuff that happened in that movie.
Schaefer, come on. You know the scene, right? Never seen Titanic? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they're like.
And the podcast hits an iceberg, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. I want to talk about Michael Thomas when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
So the reason why I like Derek Carr over Jordan Love is I just, you know, I kind of feel like you know what you're getting with Derek Carr. He's QB 18. Just put it in pencil, but like a colored pencil. Okay. Not, you know, harder to erase, easier to see.
Purple.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Michael Thomas is going to stay there. And that's a pretty good, and they re-signed Juwan Johnson for what that's worth. I like
no,
it.
No, they have a group. They
yeah,
got a group.
It's not bad. It's not bad. So.
Yeah, well, Derek Carr had a group last year in Las Vegas, and
he was fine. Yeah, he was okay. Derek Carr
20 PPR 20, but
no,
PPR doesn't matter.
No, but I'm not
20
I'm
fantasy
not,
points a game.
I don't have enough colored pencils to put Jordan Love in for 20 PPR 20 fantasy points per game.
There's only one colored pencil you need for this conversation, and it's brown, because it's not a lot of excitement when we're talking about. Listen, Jordan Love. I don't think he's got like the greatest upside of any quarterback we're talking about. But he's got some, and I just you were literally coming off of a year where Derek Carr had Devontae Adams, and then at times Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow on top of it. Not to mention Josh Jacobs contributing out of the backfield. Is this a better receiving core? But that was a bad year for him. Which we can't say they can do.
That was a bad year for Derek Carr, and he was still serviceable. And he was 18th per game, by the way. And my favorite Derek Carr stat is that he had more 20 fantasy point games than Trevor Lawrence. He had more 20 fantasy point games than Daniel Jones. The reason his season looked so bad, the season reason, is he had three horrible games. One of them was at New Orleans, and they had the flu, and Devontae Adams was terrible. They didn't get the ball past midfield. The starters didn't, at least. One of them was at Pittsburgh in the cold weather, where we know he can't play. And I don't remember the third one. But he doesn't have any cold weather. He potentially has zero cold weather games now. I'm bringing on Heath now. So, Heath,
it's amazing.
I like this is what we're talking about. Day one of free agency, Carr versus Jordan Love.
I've been listening to 2 minutes of Derek Carr talk, and amazingly, we've already had a Daniel Jones reference. So it's a pretty spectacular podcast from what I can tell. So I wanted to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Because he is going to take Derek Carr's place in Las Vegas. And I saw a clip on Twitter. We do a good job of getting clips out from the show now on how Garoppolo was maybe a downgrade for Devontae Adams. I don't really think that's true. It is true that Devontae Adams had his highest ADOT in the last 5 years last year, and Derek Carr had his highest intended air yards per attempt in 5 years last year. And Carr was a lot better at throwing the deep ball than Garoppolo, and throws the deep ball a lot more. It's also true the best year of Devontae Adams' career, when he averaged 98 yards a game and had 18 receiving touchdowns, he had an 8.98 ADOT. Devontae Adams will do whatever the quarterback does well, and he'll do it as well as anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, but that ADOT, what'd you say, 8.9?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. Isn't that a lot higher than Debo? I mean, Debo's,
Well, he's not going to beat Debo, no.
Right.
I mean, Debo had a running back ADOT.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know.
It's not the same type of player.
Yeah. It's an interesting fit, but I think a lot of people, myself included, I thought he would be worse last year, and he was awesome in
exactly.
kind of a way that he hadn't been awesome before. He had a whole bunch of deep touchdown catches.
He had a 55% catch rate last year. He was like Jamar Chase last year.
Right. So he's just amazing.
But he's been the 77% catch rate guy because they're all short area targets. He can do any of those things.
Right.
And Garoppolo is not good at throwing the deep ball. He is, I think, very good at short area targets and hitting guys on time and producing yak. And so I think that he'll probably continue to be good at that. I think it's great for Darren Waller. It's great for Josh Jacobs. It's great for Hunter Renfrow. And it probably doesn't matter for Devontae Adams.
Okay, so I was a little surprised that Dave and Jamie have CeeDee Lamb ahead of Devontae Adams. Do you?
I think I did before this. I have not updated my rankings based on today's news. In the projections, I definitely have Adams projected for more points. But, I'm going to be an ageist this year. and so 30-year-old receivers are taking a little bit of a hit. But I think that both Jacobs, I had Lamb at wide receiver 4 and Adams at wide receiver 7. He might be wide receiver 6.
Okay.
But I think they're both top 15 picks, Jacobs and Adams.
Yeah, that's what Dave and Jamie said as well. Second round for sure. I don't know if they specifically said top 15. Okay, so everybody's
on the same
page.
I think we have to talk about Jacobs as a top 5 running back.
Okay.
Explain.
There are so few backs that have his projected touch profile. He was just in this offense. It's not going to be a bad offense now. They have an NFL quality starting quarterback who doesn't like to throw the ball down the field very much. And he's going to get 360 touches. And unlike the other guys who might get that many touches, he's only 25 years old.
Yeah. Can't really argue. Dave, what do you think?
I am always nervous to buy into a running back the year after he has a big statistical jump when we know that a bag is on the line. Okay. Jacobs was in his rookie contract year and his PPR points per game jumped 5 points per game. Expecting that to happen again put him in the top five, it feels a little too risky. Because now we're talking about my very first pick is going to be Josh Jacobs, and potentially, like, where does that fall in? Eighth overall, ninth overall, maybe 12th? It feels a little too dicey for me, especially with what I honestly think it's a downgrade in quarterback going from Carr to Garoppolo.
Yeah, it's and I know that that seems to be the prevailing sentiment. Mm-hmm. I think the only reason I would think that it is because Garoppolo is likely to get hurt and then you go back up, play more games. But I can't find anything statistically that says that Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo.
But you know, that's the thing about Garoppolo. If you just looked at statistics, right, you'd think he's one of the best quarterbacks in football.
Right.
We just don't, and I said this earlier on the bonus podcast, we don't have a lot of examples. I can't really think of any examples other than Mostert and Wilson of players leaving San Francisco. I don't know how they're going to do outside of the system, you know? they've had the same core for a while.
Right.
So it's an experiment.
And that's the thing.
Other than Kyle Shanahan, who knows the strengths and weaknesses of Jimmy Garoppolo better than Josh McDaniels?
Mike. That's a fair point. Mike McDaniel. Anybody whose name has McDaniel in it.
Xavier.
And one of the problems with Carr connecting with McDaniels last year was that he didn't want to just do the everything's determined by Josh McDaniels, hit the guy, the first target that you're supposed to hit, and don't change anything. Jimmy Garoppolo can do that all day.
Maybe it would be worth our time to study how Garoppolo did in New England.
No.
And do those numbers compare to what he did in San Francisco?
I don't think so. That is ages ago.
But it's the same offense.
It's what, four games he had? Those four games at the start of that season?
I don't know if it's the same offense or not. Tom Brady wasn't slinging it like Derek Carr was last year.
True.
It's true.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Heath. Even if Garoppolo is asked to throw it deep, like Derek Carr was asked to throw it deep, it doesn't mean he's going to be as effective as Derek Carr was. In fact, the track record says that he'll be worse than that.
Yeah. I mean, he's not ever thrown to Devontae Adams. I think we've gotten a pretty good lesson over the past 3 years in how much difference an elite wide receiver can make to a quarterback.
Where do you have Garoppolo ranked?
Like one spot ahead of Carr. I think it's 21 and 22.
I'm in that same range.
And perhaps the difference that an elite wide receiver can make for a running back as well. And because I specifically remember the Seahawks game when Josh Jacobs had that, what was it, 80-ish yard walk-off touchdown in overtime. And Pete Carroll said, yeah, we were paying so much attention to Devontae Adams that we didn't do a good enough job against Josh Jacobs. So that might be something to look at, see if there's any correlation between great, you know, the elite wide receivers and great running games. But all right, interesting thoughts there. Heath, you remember the car scene in Titanic, right? They're in the car?
No.
Yeah. Okay. I just Googled it. It exists. So what did this whole conversation tell us about Michael Thomas? You guys have any interest in Michael Thomas now that it appears he's going to be on the Saints? So just wrapping up the thought from 8 minutes ago, Michael Thomas on the Saints. Dave.
What round are we talking? Are we talking round five or round six? Because that feels way too soon.
No.
But once you get past that, and maybe even like round eight range, then we're talking about there's a potential value here. And if he ends up playing only three games again because he's got problems with his ankle or his foot or his head or whatever, then he's pretty easy to move on from. So if the later that we're drafting him, I caution a little bit on round seven because I still think there's a lot of players that'll be in round seven who I'd rather have. But let's call it round eight or later. It almost feels like you're potentially stealing. And that's if he stays in New Orleans, even with Derek Carr there.
Yeah, I will predict that if Michael Thomas shows up for the first day of training camp and is still 100% healthy by the biggest draft weekend of the year, that Michael Thomas is probably a sixth-round pick.
And Chris Olave is what?
Round four-ish?
Does Michael Thomas's availability, his health, you know, let's say he is healthy for week one, does that change the way you evaluate Chris Olave? Do you drop him?
I think you'd have to because of the target volume not being the upside for the targets just isn't quite the same with Michael Thomas there. Mm-hmm. But I'm still going to look at Olave as like 3-4 turn type of range.
Although
I can give you the numbers if you're looking right now. I have them.
Like, he had 13 targets in a game with Michael Thomas in the field, didn't he?
So here's the first three games Michael Thomas played. Those are the only, he and Jameis Winston, those are the only games they played. It's worth noting that New Orleans was averaging 38 pass attempts per game and 286 passing yards per game. So that was outstanding. Michael Thomas had 22 targets. Chris Olave had 29 targets. And Juwan Johnson had 13 targets. Jarvis Landry had 19 targets. But Olave had 7 more targets in those three games than Michael Thomas. The first three games of his career. So, and that was with Jameis Winston. And now, that, remember, Olave was a super high ADOT in those games. Jameis is kind of a downfield guy, but that's your stat for you. I don't know if that's going to matter at all, but he did out.
Were there any games where Michael Thomas had more targets than Chris Olave?
Week one.
That's it?
Yeah, it was like a flip. Michael Thomas in week one had he had 8, 9, and 5 targets. Olave had, 8, 9, 5 for Thomas, 3, 13, 13. 13 targets in weeks 2 and 3 for Chris Olave.
Did Thomas get hurt in week 3? And that's why he only had the 5?
I don't think so. Maybe. I think he played a fairly normal snap share.
Okay.
But
no, that makes me feel better about Olave.
That's the kind of thing that would also make me feel better. But then I think about it, it's 3 games with a different quarterback. I think the overall theme of Michael Thomas is there. That's not good for Chris Olave. Should outweigh what happened in 3 games, right? Not saying it's terrible for Olave, but it's not good for Olave.
Yeah. I think it really depends on how much they're going to throw the ball, too.
Yeah.
They could be headed toward a direction where they're throwing it a lot, though.
Okay, everyone's talking about the car scene in Titanic, so feel good about that. Got everyone off track there in the YouTube chat. We will finish up with a few more thoughts here. We'll go through all the news. A lot of defensive news and offensive line news and stuff like that, and they could be fantasy relevant. Even those defensive headlines. I mean, are the Falcons on their way to having a good defense? Are the Bears on their way to having a good defense? We'll talk about it after this break on Fantasy Football Today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. Free agency day one recap. Hasn't really been a lot.
It's been a lot. It's just been not for like fantasy.
Right.
Not a lot of fantasy relevant moves.
It sets us up for a pretty fun week going forward. Eventually, these guys are going to have to sign.
There's not a lot of, the running backs will eventually happen, but there's not like a lot of wide receivers. The Aaron Rodgers trade might happen. Like it's kind of a down year for free agency for fantasy purposes.
If we've got Eckler, Hopkins, and Dalvin Cook trade rumors, I feel like one of them. I keep getting a notification on my phone. It's another defensive player. Now the Vikings have signed Marcus Davenport.
Yeah. I think Hopkins is going to get traded.
Yeah.
I do too.
I can't imagine the Chargers are going to trade Eckler.
Could Eckler hold in?
Sure. It's the last
and then
year.
Not play?
Yeah, you can hold out his age 28 season and see how that works out getting a contract next year.
All right. So let's go through some of the headlines here. Jonnu Smith going to the Falcons. So quarterback news.
Oh, that freaked people out, and it shouldn't.
Okay. Quarterback news. The Rams GM Les Snead said that Matthew Stafford is one of the team's pillars. The Raiders signed Garoppolo. Oof. The Dolphins signed Mike White. The Niners signed Sam Darnold. So those are two teams with injury-prone quarterbacks, obviously. Miami signing Mike White. San Francisco signing Sam Darnold. Denver.
Which one would you rather have in a two-quarterback league? It's easy.
Definitely Darnold.
Yeah, Darnold's going to average 8 yards in attempts.
Not White?
Think about this. I don't know the answer to this, but who do you think is a better quarterback, Sam Darnold or Brock Purdy?
I really liked what I saw from Purdy last year. Darnold had some good moments last year too, but there's been so many bad moments for him. The problem is that Purdy, we don't know how he's on the line, Heath.
Life on the line is 100% Darnold.
Yeah, well, especially if it's right now.
The second overall pick, different drafts. The second overall pick versus the last pick of the draft. I would take
Gardner Minshew over both, and I'm really hopeful that Gardner Minshew goes to the Vegas to back up Jimmy Garoppolo, and then we get like half a season of Minshew starting.
Denver signing Jarrett Stidham. Jameis Winston's going back to the Saints. And
I mean, can you imagine the backup quarterback, the agents of those guys, as soon as they heard Jimmy was signing with the Raiders? Like, that's the
and Stidham left
backup job.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And make sure that you get a
well, what about Arizona? That's a good job. Arizona's kind of better than that just because you might have a chance to start to begin the year.
Yeah. Okay. Jameis Winston back to the Saints and Houston signing Case Keenum. Running back. Multiple teams believe that the Vikings have discussed trading Dalvin Cook, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. Austin Eckler has requested permission to speak to other teams, according to Adam Schefter. Denver released Chase Edmonds. Denver is a big spot right now for a running back. It is interesting. We do not have a definitive timetable on Javonte Williams. It was a pretty serious injury. So if one of the main running backs, if it's Miles Sanders, David Montgomery, Damian Harris, whoever, Kareem Hunt goes to Denver, it's going to be something pretty interesting. The Giants signed
Matt
Breida.
Did say he'd really like to bring Latavius Murray back.
That would not be so interesting. All right, wide receiver news. The Vikings released Adam Thielen. So that would be an interesting landing spot for one of the wide receivers. But as it stands right now, I wish I had this that I could find it quickly. But KJ Osborne, 2 years ago, was pretty damn good without Adam Thielen. Heath, what do you think about KJ Osborne right now?
Has a very, very strong Alan Lazard feeling to it.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Isn't maybe a number three wide receiver that I'm not going to be able to get excited about, I don't think.
I resent this. You are underrating how number two wide receiver-y Alan Lazard was from weeks 2 through 9 or 10, whenever Christian Watson started. Well, he didn't play week 1, but whenever Christian Watson replaced Alan Lazard,
number two-y.
He was.
He had a 6-week stretch where he was number two, all right.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Do you know what Osborne averaged in his last 5 games, last 5 regular season games?
No.
17.4 PPR points per game.
Oh, yeah, look at that game log. Couple juicy of big ones, 117 yards at Chicago, 157 yards against the Colts.
If things don't really change in Minnesota, that's going to be an ascending player. That'll be a guy that's picked closer to Michael Thomas than anybody's thinking about right now. And if you're best balling it right now, he's a good player to take a stab on that round 10 range. If you get him there.
Report that the Broncos could consider trading a wide receiver from ESPN. Houston signing Robert Woods and the Giants signing Sterling Shepard. Heath, I'll ask you the useless question I asked earlier. Who would you rather have, Robert Woods or Sterling Shepard?
Well, you know, Sterling Shepard's target share in games when he and Daniel Jones have both been healthy.
Look at it.
It's just like it's very wide receiver too-y. I'd rather have KJ Osborne.
Same.
Do you know how many targets Sterling Shepard had in 3 games with Daniel Jones?
Like 39?
24.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah. Okay. How about tight end? So the Falcons acquired Jonnu Smith from New England, reuniting with Arthur Smith. Dave, were you freaked out by this?
No one should be freaked out by it. Arthur Smith does tend to collect players that can create mismatches. That's why he was attracted to Pitts and Drake London in the draft. Here's another guy that should be able to. He just makes a ton of stupid mistakes. Got overpaid by the Patriots. I got suckered into that. I thought he'd be pretty good with the Patriots. And for a little while, he wasn't bad. But he's going to be like the number two tight end there. He'll catch a touchdown every 6 weeks. I don't see Jonnu Smith being fantasy relevant whatsoever. And I don't, honestly, I don't see him hurting Kyle Pitts. Maybe he can even actually help open up Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
I just think that they're going to commit even further to two tight ends and a cloud of dust.
Right. But these are tight ends that aren't great blockers. These are tight ends that are
Kyle
runners.
Pitts was a very active blocker.
Was
he
good
at it or not? But they had him do it.
Right. Well, they should stop that.
I think this does not make me think they are going to stop that.
We have a complaint in the chat from Island Eric. Heath never acknowledges the chat. What is up with that, Heath?
I don't even know where the chat is.
you don't see it?
I don't even know. I'm sorry, guys.
What do you see on the right side of your screen? The private chat?
No one invited me to the chat.
You have the private chat you see?
All I see is the private chat.
Hey, click comment. You see the comments?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there they are.
Wow, look at the chat.
Congratulations. Welcome to the chat.
Oh, I'm never going to pay attention to you guys again. I'm just going to read the chat.
The Saints signed Juwan Johnson to a two-year deal, and Denver signed tight end Chris Manhertz. Offensive line. All right, some significant offensive line stuff here. The Eagles center, Jason Kelce, he's returning for another season. The Chiefs are going to sign four. This is big for the Chiefs because they're losing both tackles in theory. They're signing Jacksonville right tackle Juwan Taylor to a big deal. 4 years, $80 million, $60 million guaranteed. The Broncos so far are the offensive line winners. They are going to sign Mike McGlinchey, right tackle from San Francisco. He's 28 years old. Five-year deal, $87.5 million. They're also signing former Ravens offensive guard Ben Powers. So good stuff here for the Broncos. Washington making some moves as well, getting Kansas City right tackle Andrew Wiley, 3 years, $24 million, and also signing former Giants center Nick Gates. The Titans getting Andre. This was an interesting contract to me. Andre Dillard, 3 years, $39 million. And I don't know the specifics. It's never, I don't know how much is guaranteed there. But this is a guy, Andre Dillard, who was a backup for the Eagles. Granted, a backup for the best offensive line in football. Former first-round pick. But interesting one for the Titans, who have lost a lot from a bad offensive line last year. Dave, to me, are you there, Dave?
I'm here.
Okay. It seems like the Titans could have a pretty bad offensive line, but which wouldn't be much of a change from last year.
No, Dillard was a popular offensive tackle in his draft, former first round pick, didn't work out in Philadelphia, lost a battle for a starting job a couple seasons back. They'll try and salvage him in Tennessee, but I don't know. He might actually be an upgrade over what they had at times at tackle last year, but that's another team with an offensive line that we've got to keep a real close eye on.
The Bears signed former Titans guard, another guy the Titans are losing, Nate Davis.
Yep, talked about him earlier in the show. Good run blocker, terrible pass blocker.
Bills are signing former Cowboys offensive lineman Connor McGovern. He is a better pass blocker than run blocker. And the Falcons are re-signing right guard Chris Lindstrom to a five-year deal worth $105 million. And
that's, I mean,
yeah.
Anytime you can go spend $100 million on a guard and add a second tight end. Didn't they re-sign Keith Smith as well?
Yeah,
they did. They're fullback, and they got Jesse Bates, and their defensive line is beefed up.
Like, I know I joked about this on Twitter a little bit today, and I think most people are joking, but I hope it's Bijan. I really hope they draft Bijan and just run it 500 times and win that division.
All right, real before we finish up here, do you get this reference, Heath? Welcome to the party, pal. That's you joining the chat, but it is also a movie
reference.
I believe
that's a quote from Die Hard.
It is. Yes. All right, Heath. Big one there. All right. Okay. Anything else? There's a lot of defensive stuff.
We just saw Draymond Jones go to the Seahawks.
Yeah, we did. And Jalen Ramsey was obviously a huge deal.
Yeah. Dolphins defense is going to be pretty good. They'll get drafted. They'll end up being a DST that you look at with one of your last two picks. They added David Long, a linebacker. Ramsey's a big signing for them. Their pass rush is on the rise. This is a good one. And Vic Fangio's there.
The 49ers signed Javon Hargrave. That wasn't fair. That defensive front doesn't need to be any better.
Yeah, that's your number one DST right now. It's kind of obvious.
I'm really, I wouldn't say worried, but curious about the Eagles. So they lose Hargrave.
The right up the middle of their defense, they lost somebody.
Right, they lost safety Marcus Epps. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have
over half their starters.
Yeah, they're not going to have both cornerbacks back, and they might not have either cornerback back. Bradbury is a free agent. Darius Slay, I guess, has permission.
Gardner Johnson is out there.
Yeah, they have so many free agents.
This team's window may have closed, but here's the silver lining. Just imagine this offense without a defense holding them back in the fourth quarter of games.
Mm. And Bills are another team that are pretty interesting as they lose Tremaine Edmonds. He goes to the Bears. Huge deal. The Bears sign Tremaine Edmonds from the Bills and TJ Edwards, two linebackers. He's Edwards from the Eagles, so the Bears making moves.
I don't think the Bears are going to be bad against the run. I don't know if they'll be good against the pass, but I think that they're not going to be bad against the run. Maybe just average.
All right. Let's see. Anything else here? Jamel Dean.
Who's on their D-line?
I think that's TBD.
Right. And their pass rush is still...
You think about some of the best teams in football last year, and the Eagles are going to lose a lot on defense. The Bills are going to lose a lot on defense. And the Bengals losing both starting safeties, although bringing back Jermaine Pratt.
Yeah, Pratt's a good signing for them. They'll find safeties that can fit into their defense.
All right. Oh, I know what I wanted to finish with. Three proposed rules changes.
Hmm.
Rule changes? Okay. The Chargers proposed a rule that I proposed. The Chargers listened to the show because they actually screwed it up. They got way too specific with it. But they proposed the rule that I've been, you know, really wanting. It would give a wild card team a higher seed than a division winner under two circumstances. One, the division winner has a losing record. And two, the wild card team has four or more wins, more than the division winner. Why does it have to be that? Why can't it just be they have a better record than the division winner? Why do they need to be four games better than the division winner? It doesn't make any sense.
We've talked about this. There's got to be a big grand prize for the winner of each division.
Yeah, you make the playoffs. That's a pretty damn
big
prize.
Not a big grand enough prize to the owners.
You making the playoffs is a big deal. You should not get home field advantage for being sub 500
for a week. Right. The owners will disagree with you.
Well, I disagree with them. The Rams.
Well, then figure out a way to make up that revenue.
It's not like the owners are losing revenue. It's just going to a different owner. It's not like we're losing a home game here.
Sure, 1 year could benefit a different owner.
Absolutely.
But the whole idea is each year, one out of four has the chance to host at least one home playoff game. If you change that rule, then there's a chance that your entire division could be shut out. That lowers your chances of hosting a home playoff game.
Why? No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Look, four teams are going to host the playoff game, right?
In the first round, yes.
Yeah, so what does it matter if you win your division? Or it's just the four best records from that, you know, from that
because
pool.
It's a lock that one team from each division will host the playoff game.
It shouldn't be.
I don't disagree with it, but the owners will.
Yeah, the owners are wrong. So the
Rams. The ones that have the money, so...
The Rams proposed the rule that would make roughing the passer would be reviewable. What do you think?
I don't think they'd do a good job of that, so.
I'd review it. I like it.
It should be, but pass interference should be too, and we can't do that. We found that out pretty quick.
Another thing the owners don't want to do is have four-hour games.
I am skeptical that they'll be able to do this well.
Here's the problem I have with the whole pass interference thing. I've said this before too, so I apologize, but you probably don't remember. It was obvious. The NFL, whoever it was, I forget who was doing it. It's one guy. He was doing a bad job. I'm sorry to say it. I remember specifically a DeAndre Hopkins player. Everybody watched it. Everybody knew what the call should have been. They came back with a different call. It's pretty stinking easy, I think, to make those calls. They overcomplicate it. So we know sometimes, oh, that was not roughing the passer, or oh, that was roughing the passer. Don't make it so complicated. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the problem is that like you're it's always coming down to one man's judgment. Mm-hmm. And so is it the one man who's standing on the field with a whistle, or is it the one man who's sitting in the booth? But it's still going to be one man.
Do a Twitter poll.
And, He's not going to be 100% accurate. We're hoping for like 55-60%.
And it's a bad look if all the referees on the field decide that a play is legal and fair, but there's a guy sitting in a booth watching a replay that says, nope, that's roughing the passer.
People start getting conspiracy theories.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's you only review roughing the passer. You don't review non-calls. But if there's a roughing the passer call, I think it should be reviewable.
But then it's still subjective in the review.
But it's easier to make the call when you're looking at a slow motion replay than just live action. Mm. Like as it is
now, you got to define it even more.
No, you don't.
No, you can't just say I know it when I see it.
You're such a grump. You're a grump. If Eagles proposed the rule that would replace onside kicks with a 4th and 20 from the team's own 20-yard line, and if you convert it, you keep the ball.
Anything's better than an onside kick.
I don't know why the Chiefs didn't propose this the day they drafted Patrick Mahomes. just never kick off again. Right. I don't really like it.
Do you like onside kicks?
No.
Me
but
yeah,
I just don't want, like, we don't need to make it easier for you to get the ball back when you're behind by 2 scores with less than a minute to go. You should have done a better job and not been behind by 2 scores with less than a minute to go.
What if you're behind by 1 score with less than a minute to go?
Then you have the ball, then you score, and you tie the game, and it's fine.
No, oh, okay. Oh, so you're saying it was 2 scores, now it's 1 score.
Right.
I don't, that's
you're
ridiculous.
It's like you're
that's
down by
ridiculous.
14 points. You go score a touchdown, and you're like, I should get a chance to win the game.
We should just make the game 58 minutes long, Heath. Why do we even play the last 2 minutes?
We're playing the last 2 minutes. We're not going to make special rules just so you can get a chance to catch up.
Ridiculous. All right. We're out of here, everybody.
Like the 8-point touchdown now if you score from the 50?
Go.
No, look what the XFL is doing. You can score 9 points on a drive.
Okay, go watch Titanic, everybody. We'll see you later. We'll talk to you tomorrow. A lot of big news tomorrow, we promise, on Fantasy Football Today.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.